Hello everyone, hope you're all doing great today. As always, there's a message before the video starts. If you want to skip straight to the stories, then there's timestamps in the description below. So for today, I just want to say this. Make sure you always remember that you're in control of your days, and you have a lot more power over how you feel during them than you realize. Think of this, the moment you wake up, you're immediately having thoughts, and it's up to you to be conscious of them, to control them. Doing this is going to put the power back into your own hands. We have to remember that our mind knows us better than anybody else, our darknesses, weaknesses, and insecurities. So being in control of that is a very important thing, and it's the only way that you're going to get through life. I can't emphasize this enough. Honestly, if you can do this every day, it's going to make a massive difference to your life. And you have to do things that make you uncomfortable and that you're scared to do. It's the only way your mind's going to get stronger. And yeah, it's going to take a long time and there's no finish line to this, but it's going to turn your life around completely. I love you and you're not alone in your struggles. Take care and have a great week. And make sure you check out my Instagram at Joe the Insomniac and check out the podcast in the description below. I grew up in a very small rural town in Michigan. This place was so small that everybody knew everyone. My high school graduation class consisted of less than 30 people. It was a place with a very small population, but geographically, it wasn't small at all, consisting mostly of wooded areas and open fields. Houses are spread out, and nothing like what you see in the city. I mean, the nearest city was hours away. I lived on a dead-end gravel road, my neighbours at the very end of the road, and to my left, there's about a 5-minute walk before you meet the others. You could barely see the neighbour's house through the sparse trees. To the right is another neighbour. My uncle and aunt and my favourite cousin actually live about 5 minutes away. I could only see their house if I walked to the end of my driveway. My house was the second to last one on the road. And just before my house was a really long driveway. I suppose you could call it another road, but it led directly to a house behind mine that belonged to a man I'll call Dave. Now there's a large open field, followed by another sparse tree lined, and Dave's house is behind that. I could easily see his small house perched on the top of a tiny hill in the distance. I loved growing up there. It was my favourite place in the world. My mum and dad worked in town, and my older brother, my younger sister and I were always left to our own devices growing up. We were always playing outside. My siblings and I are all born within the first half of the 90s, so we grew up during a time where there weren't really cell phones. We didn't have cable TV, just a few channels when we got an antenna. And our parents usually kicked us out of the house from sunrise to sunset, because they didn't want us being stuck indoors. Because of this, we often explored the land around the area. Being 90s babies, our parents for some reason trusted us to literally wander everywhere. Never once did they check up on us. Now the house behind us was extremely creepy. We rarely saw anyone come or go, and believe me, they were very nosy and would know if somebody was driving down the road. The upstairs bedroom window overlooked the front of the house, and my sister upstairs' window overlooks the back of the house. We also had a giant set of sliding glass doors at the back of our house that opened up to the back door porch. They were so big it practically took up the whole wall, so we literally saw everything. Despite the neighbour behind us rarely being seen going anywhere or seeing anyone show up there, we just knew he was creepy. We used to call him Creepy Dave, and still do to this day, including my parents. I can't really explain why we started to call him that, but it seems so fitting. We used to walk through the field and along the tree line towards Dave's house. We were careful not to walk all the way up the driveway. We'd usually just play near the tree line and the fields around the area. The fields are owned by a local farm, family friends or my parents. So weren't exactly trespassing onto Dave's property if we stayed just far enough down. Sometimes we would get a little brave and creeped up the road more. I could remember inside the ditches leading up to his driveway, there would be animal bones, fully intact skeletons, even a deer skull. It had all been there long enough to be pure bone. That alone was creepy enough for young kids to see. When I was in middle school, Dave married this woman. I can't remember for the life of her name, but she had two children. A daughter I'll call Lisa, and son I'll call Dustin. Now they started to ride the bus with me and my siblings to school. They always hated it when the bus drove up the eerie driveway to their house. I can remember one winter, the bus actually got stuck in the snow. The bus driver had to try and shovel us out, and while everyone was stuck waiting for the bus, I happened to look out the window at the barn near the house. It was still dark out, but just starting to turn to dawn, so the sky was bluish, but still dark, and you can see silhouettes. I kid you not, standing there on the second level of the barn, there's creepy Dave holding a pitchfork. He's not even doing anything, he's just staring at us watching. All I can see is his outline. It frightens me so much that I turn my whole body away from the window and start tearing up a bit. My best friend sitting next to me says what's wrong, and I can't even tell her. I don't know what it was, but it scared me so badly. I don't know if anybody else saw him up there, but I still picture it. That was the last time I actually saw Dave for myself, but unfortunately, he didn't disappear fully from our lives. I used to stay up late in middle school watching movies and reading. I've always been a night owl, and sometimes my sister and I would stay up on the weekends all night watching films. One night it's very late. After 3 a.m, my sister had fallen asleep, but I was still awake. All of a sudden, we hear a very loud pounding coming from the door that led to our garage. We had a huge bay window in the living room, and a front door to the left of it. Our garage was on the right. Our window faces a driveway and we have multiple dogs, so whoever this was come from behind the house, crept into our garage so the dogs don't know. I was so scared. My sister starts crying. I started screaming for my dad. He come running out of his bedroom in his underwear holding a shotgun. He went to the door and it's Dave's wife, crying hysterically. I have no idea what happened, but my dad never even told me, and the cops show up. Over time, this happened a few more times. It got to the point where my sister and I stopped sleeping in the living room. And eventually one night, my dad told Dave's wife she needs to stop coming running to our home for help and needed to go to the other neighbors. Thinking back, I feel bad, but my dad was clearly worried about us. These occurrences stopped for a while until one morning, I walked downstairs to SWAT vans parked around the road, men in uniforms with vests and guns crouching in the backyards, and they're pointing directly towards Dave's house. I freaked out. I ran into the living room, into the front entrance, and my dad was standing there with a sheriff. The sheriff had been telling my dad that during the night, Dave held his wife and daughter at gunpoint. I'm not sure where her son was, but he hadn't been there. Eventually, this man in his drunken fit of rage blacked out and passed out, and the wife and daughter escaped. I'm still not sure which neighbor they went to, but the cops are called. Upon getting there, he actually shot at them, and that's when the SWAT was called in. I suppose sneaking through my yard across the field was their way to get an element of surprise, but hell, how is a young girl supposed to know what to do when all this is going on? Dave went to prison and I have no idea of the outcome, nor his family. The kids never went back to school. Apparently he's out now but never come back here. All I know is his creepy house is still there and it's been abandoned for ages. This was a few years ago, during my freshman year of college. A couple weeks into school, this girl I had class with asked me if I wanted to go to a concert. She'd been given 2 tickets as a gift, and still being early in the school year, I didn't really have friends, nor did she. so we decide to go. We live in a large city, and the concert was in a small town about an hour away by train. We get to know each other on the way there, and by the time we get off the train, it's very dark. The street lamps are sparse. We're dressed in our outfits for the concert, and the venue's about a 10-minute walk away. Neither of us had ever been out of town before, and we're having some trouble using Google Maps to figure out what direction to head in. I had generally been pretty wary of strangers and content to continue struggling with my phone map. However, my new friend decides to ask a man on the street for help. He looks like he's in his 30s, about 6 feet tall, blonde, and he's wearing a suit with no tie, and the top couple of buttons are undone. He tells us he knows where the venue is and can get us there. He says, "Do we want to walk?" Now, he says what are our names and how old are we, and where are we from. Not necessarily creepy, but I'm getting a bad vibe. It's dark, the streets become practically empty from the train station. We end up reaching an intersection, and he starts to turn right. I'd continued to look on Google Maps once we started walking, and having become better orientated, we're now moving. I know that we need to take a left. I say this, but he says, "Nah, you're wrong." And I say I'm looking at the map, but he says it must have gotten confused. We turn left and he continues walking with us, assuring us that now he knows where he's going. The map says a concert's up ahead, and in the distance, I can see people all heading in the same direction. Again, our guide says that this is wrong, and he starts walking into a very secluded area near the woods. My friend is starting to get worried, and looks very superstitious. I'm gonna leave that in. My friend has also become suspicious, and we tell him that we're gonna continue straight. He insists that the venue is through the parking lot, and when we point out to the people up ahead, he says it's a shortcut, it's much quicker. We thank him for his help and keep walking. As we leave him, he stands there in the parking lot yelling, "You guys are gonna get lost. You need help." Luckily, he didn't follow us and stopped yelling once we got closer to the crowd. We got to the venue soon after, had a great time at the concert, and I'm scared he'd be waiting for us. Luckily, he never found us again. I'm positive if we went into the woods, something very bad would have happened. My family and I have been hunting on the same property in East Texas for over 10 years. I love Texas. And we've had some really creepy encounters with some of the locals. This property we hunt on is timber company land. It's way off the beaten path down some dirty roads. No power, no running water, no sewer. There's only a few people that live in the area, only scattered around some hunting camps. Our closest neighbours live in a trailer, about a mile away, and we've come to call this a meth house. Now, I'm not sure if it's really a meth house, but it wouldn't be hard to believe that was happening there. Now, this place has always been odd. There is a trailer sitting in the middle of a pine clearing. The brush is fairly overgrown around the trailer, almost as if the property is abandoned. There have always been broken down cars and other junk grown around the front. Cow skulls and hip bones are attached to a pine tree going up about 20 feet. It started out maybe 10, and over the 10 years has grown out to about 20. Now, for a long time, the strangest thing about that place is the vibe you get. In 2017, things get weirder. The front yard collection began to grow. A rotted out taxidermy of wild hogs was added to the skull tree. A doll's head was fixed with horns onto some kind of stick in the ground, which we called the Devil Baby. There's three tripods about 12 feet high, each erected around the trailer made out of pine trunks. One day when we drove by, we noticed that from one of these tripods hung the spinal column and rib cage of we don't know what. We thought originally they were using the tripods to hang and clear deer, but The same bones have been hung there for over a year now, and someone would usually get rid of this. So, we've had no encounters with the residents and don't even know what they look like or if they actually live there long term. This place was creepy. They seemed to keep to themselves. Until later in that season, we had two creepy encounters. The first happened to my good friend. He had made a quick day trip with his wife up to the property to fill feeders and ride four-wheelers. To get to the spot, he has to get on the dirt road and drive past the meth house. His spot is only a few hundred yards away from the house. While they were doing their thing, they began to hear some strange noises. And as he listened closer, he could hear high-pitched gibberish between three voices yelling weird words in Arabic and with Jesus mixed in. They decided to get on the four-wheeler and investigate. They found two men squatted down besides a large mud pile in front of the house. They were splashing and bouncing around while furiously speaking gibberish. Once they noticed the four-wheeler, they stopped and stared like animals. My buddy quickly took off. The second encounter happened to me and my brother. We were up there alone for the weekend, and were relaxing by the fire on a pitch black night after a long day's hunt. We began to hear something strange in the distance. It was pipe organ music. It wasn't a recording of a pipe organ, but somebody actually playing one. They were missing notes and sporadically starting and stopping. We laughed about how it was like something out of a horror film, but the music continues for hours. Then all of a sudden, we hear crashing through the brush. Now we're actually in a very thick area of brush. It is between our camp and the direction of our house. This doesn't sound like the usual spook deer or armadillo roaming around, or hogs even. It's made by something very large. Now the rest of the night it's quiet, and there's no more organ music, and we don't know what caused this. Now not too much has happened since then, but we've made a point never to go there alone, but to maybe one day scout it out overnight. The summer before second grade, my family and I moved into Olympia, WA. I with my parents and my older sister back then. My sister is 2 years older than me, so she would have been in the fourth grade. My sister celebrated her 10th birthday that same year by having a handful of friends over for a sleepover. We owned a trampoline back then and often had sleepovers and used the trampoline during the summer months. We lived near a forest. Now we have many fond memories of sleeping on the trampoline under the stars, but this was not one of those fond memories. Seeing as it was my sister's party, I was younger, and the annoying brother, I'm not invited to the trampoline party. I do, however, remember how the events unfolded. It all began when, around, six or so girls came fleeing inside screaming about a man in the woods. A backyard at this house was fenced off to the left and right side, but was not fenced on the backside as our backyard continued into a beautiful forest backdrop. According to the girls, as they're out on the trampoline enjoying their sleepover, a man in a yellow rain jacket appeared in the woods. The random creepy man proceeded to stand there in the woods and stare at the 6 10-year-old girls the whole time they're out there. He didn't respond to them when they attempted addressing him or even break eye contact. It was at this point that the girls were so scared they collectively ran as fast as they could inside. After the girls relayed their experience to my parents and I, the three of us reached to the window to see this man. When we get to the window, all we can see is a glimpse of the yellow jacket as he disappeared further into the forest, beyond the borderline of the neighbouring fence, out of sight. My dad sprinted outside yelling at the man, threatening him, calling the police but we can't see him. My parents did call the police and filed a report, but nothing ever come of it. After this experience, our parents thought twice about letting us sleep on the trampoline at night. We ended up moving a year later. When I was quite young, maybe 9 or 10, my mum, sister, who's about 4 or 5, and I went for a walk in the forest. It was a large forest, well known for camping and having picnics, and we had walked through there many times before. The three of us walked for quite some time until we found a spot to have a picnic. After eating our food, we explored the various mushrooms and trees dotted around the place. When it started to roll over into late afternoon, we decided it was time to head back, and we made the walk back to the forest. There was always an eerie feeling when you're in the forest, in any forest, no matter where. When we arrived back, we're shocked to see police cars everywhere and hear sirens. We had no idea what happened, but nevertheless, we got back into our car and drove home. I was wondering what could have happened the entire night back, when finally, my questions are answered. My mum and I sat down to watch the 7 o'clock news and found out that, while we're having a picnic, the police had discovered a body buried in a shallow grave in that very forest. The reporter explained that the men involved were doing stuff with drugs and other criminal activities. As I was quite young when all this occurred, I didn't think much of it. Sure, I was creeped out, but I didn't completely understand it. Looking back now, it gives me chills thinking about it. I often wonder what would have happened if we were the ones to discover the body. My husband and I love to go driving. We prefer road trips, but on the weekends or nights, we have nothing better to do than to go around cruising and just drive around. We prefer smooth and not busy roads. On this particular night, we are bored and decide to go cruising. We went up north to a small town, about half an hour from the city where the roads are curvy and smooth. This town is close to the mountains, and if you follow this particular path to the main street all the way up north, it starts driving up a mountain. It's about 9 p.m. and there are very few cars in the road already since it's a little cute town, but we kept going north anyway from the houses and stores and eventually to where the roads start curving uphill. We drive up for about 15 minutes more and it's pitch black when we see some blinking lights. As we get closer, we see a truck that's on the side of the road facing us. I'm getting the chills thinking about being all the way up there in the middle of nowhere, and a stranded truck on the side of the road appears. As we slowly approach, I tell my husband it's probably best to turn back. I have a bad feeling, but at this point, we're pretty much at the truck. He pulls up next to us. We see that there's a young blonde guy, probably in his late 20s, who gets up to our window. I get such a bad vibe by this and tell my husband not to put his window down. I think he also gets a weird vibe and actually listens to me. He kinda just loudly asks what's wrong, and the guy just says something happened to his truck and he needs a hand. His phone is dead. Now my husband asks what happened, but this guy insists on showing him and to take a look. He says it's very friendly and even calls him bro, and he's glad we pulled up. My husband says, you know what, I won't be much help because I know nothing about cars, but I can call help for you. My friend knows a lot about cars. The guy's insisting and gets upset. I'm now looking back at the truck and I thought I caught movement inside the truck. I tell my husband I think we should go now. He probably saw the look of fear on my face because he puts the car in reverse, but as he did, the guy is now behind our car, so my husband decides to go forward instead. We drive up for maybe 2 minutes, trying to find a place to turn around since the road is so narrow. The road turns to a dirt road, and there's a little more space on the side, so he's able to turn the car around. I am dreading going back that way now, and our phones have no signal at all. In my mind, I know this could all be someone with genuine problems, but this doesn't make sense. I cannot help the feeling in my gut. We soon reach the area where the truck had been, and there's no truck at all. We drive maybe another 5 minutes, no trace of one whatsoever, and we're sure we've passed the place that he said. We didn't drive up too far to begin with. I am both relieved and terrified that the truck's no longer there though. If it had really broke down, how did it get help working again in such a short amount of time? Calming myself down, I'm telling my husband, hey, maybe they really did get it to work. Maybe it turned on all of a sudden and they drove off. Suspicious, yeah, but not impossible. As we keep driving through, the roads begin to straighten out. We notice far off the truck with all the lights off and park to the side again and notice movement in the truck. I say out loud, why did they turn out all the lights? I think they were thinking we're still far enough away from them, but we see two figures get on the other side of the truck and crouch down as if hiding. We get closer and my husband floors it. As we drive past, the two men get up. One of them is the guy that we had spoken to earlier, and the other's massive. With a very surprised look in their faces, one of them turns and runs behind us trying to catch us. I kept looking back, but it's so dark. Now all of a sudden, I see the headlights in their truck, and they start driving in our direction very fast. My husband keeps going, and eventually, we lose the headlights. I kept looking back the rest of the way, so scared that they're somehow still following us. Maybe they turned off their lights again and I can't see them. Anyway, after driving for a very long time back to the city, we're convinced no one's following us now. We do call the non-emergency line given a description, but we don't get the plates, so it's pretty much futile doing so, just given a description of the guys we saw. I realize all this could be rationalized, but it makes no sense why one guy was hiding and how they tried desperately to follow us. I hate the fact that they're still out there. I just pray we never encounter them again. I don't know if this is an Eastern Coast thing, but in my little town, there's a twice the ice station. Basically, you fill up water jugs and get ice bags for cheaper than you can in the grocery store. I went out a few nights ago to get some water, because hey, he wants to be drinking tap water. My husband was home, and because I'm kind of heavily pregnant, he insisted that he go instead, but I really wish that he would have done. I was out at 1 a.m, and it's dark for miles in the middle of nowhere. As I get out of my car, I open the back seat to get the gallon jugs and close the door. The moment I do, a dark blue truck van pulls up behind me. I presume that they're doing the same thing as me, and I don't really think too much of it. However, alarm bells start going off, and the alarm bells start screaming at me when the slide door opens up and two large men step out. It's about a 20-foot distance between me and them, so the first thing I do is pull out my phone and start making a pretend phone call saying, yeah, I'm almost home. As soon as they see me answer, one guy says crap, and they both get in there, tires literally screeching as they bolt out of there. I throw the jugs into my car, empty, and lock all the doors a million times before I broke down calling my husband. He told me to write down the make and model of the car and colour, and we'd go to the police station first thing tomorrow. Now I don't know if they targeted me because I was a woman alone in the middle of nowhere, but deep down, I know they targeted me because I was pregnant, and I don't want to think what would have happened if they got me. When I was 16, some friends and I went to an outdoor center concert thing. We parked at the mall and took a shuttle to the venue. For perspective, the mall is a 20-minute drive from our home, and the venue's another 20 minutes away in a different direction. During the concert, I end up losing my friends in the crowd. I don't care though, as I wanted to get to the front, and I could just call them after the concert ends. Well, of course I lost my phone somewhere in the crowd of people, and don't even notice until the last show wraps up. I search the ground as the people dissipate with no luck. Reluctantly, I just hop on the bus heading back to the mall, hoping to meet them at the car. The car is gone, and I start to freak out a little. But it's 10 p.m. when I head to the bus station to see when the next bus is coming. Just my luck. It's a special holiday, so no buses until 10 a.m. I borrow a stranger's phone and call the two numbers I know, my mum and brother. My mum doesn't answer, but my brother does. He basically gives me the suck it up talk and hangs up. So I'm alone, scared, and a little drunk in a city I don't know. I try walking but quickly give up when I realize I'm basically walking down a random highway towards God knows where. Back at the station, I'm just staring at the map when a stranger creeps up behind me. He asks me where I'm heading, and I say the truth. He is conveniently going to the same city, asking if I take a split to a cab. Realizing this is my only option, as I said I don't have my own money, we get in the car. Turns out he has less than I do. We barely have enough to get to the heart of the city, which is a 10-minute drive from my home, but at least I know my way from there. During the drive, this guy gets progressively more creepy. He's aware that I'm 16 and he's 25. He scoots closer every minute, touching me, insisting I come back with him, even writing his number on my leg. As we get there, I realize the situation I'm in. We're about to get out at a quiet area at 2 a.m. and the cabbie's gonna drive off, leaving no one to hear me scream. The second he gets out, I turn to the driver begging him to take me further so I can at least put some distance between us. The cab driver said he hadn't heard a word the whole way but definitely heard something odd. He asks me for my address and takes me all the way home, and the creeper stares in frustration as he drives off. When I got home, I offer to wake up my mum to pay him but he declines, saying he's just glad I'm safe. I broke him through the kitchen window to get to bed and cried myself to sleep. I'm just glad the cab driver was so kind to me. I really enjoy going camping. I'm truly an outdoorsy kind of person. It's very rare that I ever have a bad experience while camping, but I did have one that stood out to me, and is one that I can't explain. So let me start off by saying this was a good few years ago, and everything seemed normal on the day. In fact, I was having a really good day, so I arrived for my 4-day planned hike and camp in the evening. I had a really easy to set up tent, so it didn't really matter what time I got there. No, I wanted to sleep on the first day, because I was tired from driving. So I park my car up, and I realize I'm the only person in the parking area. I get out and hear some voices, but they immediately stop when I get outside. I look and realize that I've accidentally left the radio on, so I just turn it off, get my camping gear out and head out. Now everything feels normal. The sun's setting, so I can still see where I'm going, and honestly, the forest and area that I'm in looks truly beautiful. I'm not gonna lie, it's probably the nicest sunset I've ever seen. There was sort of a mist above the trees. I took a couple photos on my phone and I was really glad I did. I actually still use one as a screensaver, but that's not the point. I find this beautiful spot that I've been to before. It's close to a lake. I set up my camp and equipment, and what's better to do than some night fishing? So I head off towards that. I have an inflatable raft that I can use for my fishing. I have a small Bluetooth speaker with me and set that down and set off. I'm having a brilliant time. Unfortunately, I haven't caught anything. But I do have this strange feeling washing over me. It's almost like a paranoia that I can't quite describe. Now, the forests and wilderness can be a beautiful area during the day, but at night, even for an avid camper like me, it can be pretty scary. I stay still for a second, and I'm sure I can hear the same kind of voices from before. That's odd. I turn off my speaker so I can concentrate more. I know it's definitely not from what I was listening to previously, but I put my mind on fishing. I want to catch some dinner. Now, as I'm fishing, I hear this strange thumping sound, like someone slamming something on a tree. It's odd, it's almost like someone's taking a metal hammer to an old oak tree and is smashing it. It's in a very rhythmic manner though, stopping for a few seconds and starting again. Now, needless to say, this confuses the hell out of me, and I begin to hear more voices. I can't tell exactly what they're saying, but I decide that, you know what, I think it's better to be out in my camping site at least. That's where I have my weapons if I really need it, that I've buried now under some leaves. The thought flashed across my mind that, oh god, imagine if they found my site and my weapons, then I'd really be screwed, and I laughed to myself. So I start paddling back. As I do, I realize that the sound has now stopped, but also that it's coming from the opposite side of the lake. I have a horrible feeling about this. I don't know of any other campers in the area, but hey, it's not the first time I've encountered anyone out there, and I make it back to the shore. As I do so, I get my stuff together, leave my raft deflated on the side, knowing I can come back for it in the morning, and I head out. As I do, the thumping starts again. This time it's louder and closer than it was before. Okay, that's really odd. And I've now picked up the pace. I'm thinking about calling out, but I realize it's not a good idea in case these are actually bad people. I glance behind me for a second, and I can just about make out the flash of a light before it cuts off the second I turn my head. Now, I don't need any more signs, and I literally start sprinting back to my campsite. As I do, I can't shake the feeling that I'm being watched and followed. The thudding sound slowly stops as I'm jogging, but I'm not going to wait around for it. I quickly pack up all my stuff. I decide I'm going to sleep in my car just until I figure out what's going on the next morning. I look and thankfully find my gun exactly where I left it. I feel a lot more safe now. I start sprinting towards my car, and as I do, I can hear rustling around me. I'm now terrified. I call out, whoever's there, I have a gun and I'm not afraid to use it. What's wild is this doesn't even deter them. I start to think maybe it's a group of animals stalking me like coyotes or something, the last thing I need. As I'm running, I can see the figure of a person near my car. I shine my torch and I can see the reflection of animal eyes. I don't really get a lot of time to figure out exactly what animal it is, but it gives me some relief, knowing it's not a person. As I get closer, there's this disgusting smell. Just as I reach for the door, I can see that this isn't actually an animal. It's just an animal's head that's been freshly cut on the roof of my car. What the hell? I now let out a really loud scream.
that I don't even have to think about making. I quickly get in my car and turn on the lights. I can see the silhouette of a person in front of me now, who quickly ducks down. I instantly slam it into reverse, but I realize I'm having a really bad panic attack, and I need to wait at least 3 seconds or so before I start driving, before it gets any worse. Just as I'm doing so, I can see the flashes of more torches behind me. I instantly snap out of it, and immediately step on the accelerator and speed the hell out of there. I then instantly call the police to report what's happened. I can't believe that this actually happened to me. How could a nice relaxing getaway turn into this? How the hell did that animal head get there? Who were them people? The police agreed to meet me further up the road, and I agreed to help go back to figure out exactly what's happened. I'm literally shaking, but I feel a lot safer with the police officer there. He says he's never heard of anything like it before happening. When we get there, there's no longer a feeling of being watched. Disgustingly enough, the animal head's still on the floor, close to the exit where it rolled off my car. The officer says that someone must have done this very recently because of the way it sat and the blood around it. He does a quick patrol and can't find anything in the area. I go to the lake and show him exactly where I saw the first torch. I'm now able to retrieve my raft too, but there's no signs of anyone out there. He says he's literally never seen anything like this before, and that whoever done this is long gone, and I agree to go back to the station with him to make a bigger report. Turns out, there's lots of reports of occultist activity in the area that neither me or the officer knew about previously. Apparently they make regular animal sacrifices, and worse, they attempt to kidnap people, and have done so before. Unfortunately for me, they never found exactly who did this, and I still have more questions than answers, and I never went back to that same area again. We live in Oregon, and we drove down to the coast of Northern California. We had a late start leaving our houses, and arrived at a little beach south of the Redwoods just after 9 p.m. It's pouring rain and dark out, so we park on a dirt road that had access to the beach, and decided against walking down on the sand to set up my camp. My friend drives an old Toyota pickup with a camper shell cover in the bed, which has a mattress in the back, so we decide just to sleep on here. The beach area where we were is very secluded, and belonging to a local Native American tribe. They didn't mind us visiting, as long as we're respectful. After talking for a while in the shelter of the truck canopy, my friend fell asleep before drifting off myself. I realized I'd forgotten the passenger lock of the truck. All of our valuables were stored in the cab, so I hoped nobody would come along to rob us in our sleep. After a few dreamless hours, I heard the sound of the driver's side door handle of my friend's truck being lifted. That door happened to be locked, but I was awake, terrified that whoever had tried to open the door would now go around to unlock the side, or try to get in bed where we are. It was still dark out at this time, but I heard footsteps starting to walk around to the back. I grabbed my flashlight and shone it through the back window of the camper shell, in hopes of alerting the intruder that there's people here. I heard footsteps get a little further away. Then I heard the sounds of snapping twigs and something heavy being thrown. Then the man let out a long yell, screaming a swear word at the top of his lungs. It didn't take more than 2 or 3 yells before I woke up my friend. "Dude, there's a crazy guy outside. He tried getting in the truck, now he's walking around yelling," I blurt out as I shook his shoulder. We sat upright peering out of the windows, but it's still pitch black out. I check my phone and it's 5 a.m. The sound of the man walking around the woods near the truck don't let up. He's still screaming now, and it seems to be getting louder. He would occasionally yell further away, but then appear closer. We sat huddled in fear for a good hour, unsure of what to do. His shout sounded as though he was full of rage, but he never attempted to get into the truck again. Eventually, the owners of the only other car parked there came to their vehicle and drove off as the sky started to lighten. We did not hear any more yelling or log frying after that, and eventually were both able to sleep for a bit, waking up at around 10 a.m. It's hard to believe that during that terrifying hour, we heard what we did, and it was so vivid. We still had no idea what the man was doing or why he was so angry, but the guy screaming profanities still remains a mystery to me.
So I was a wildlife firefighter back in the day in Arizona. I worked in a forest that was generally popular with a lot of recreation in the northern proportion. But I worked on the southern area of the forest, and that was really remote. It barely had any roads or campgrounds, so if you wanted to recreate there, you had to go work for it. Now, the fire crew I was on had two duty stations, one in a small town where the rest of the forest employees worked out, and one that was about 2.5 hours away up a windy road. The remote dusty station had an old Forest Service ranger station, and a newer double-wide trailer that was recently put in. When I worked at this place, it had no cell reception. When my crew and I weren't working, we were playing horseshoes and watching movies. They did eventually add a cell phone booster, which sadly made people go on their phones all day. So for my story, I want to keep it pretty simple. But my supervisor from that crew had experienced some weird things working up there. There was one night he told me he was cowboy camping, which is sleeping outside with no tent. Imagine the spiders. And he kept getting a weird musky drop-off liquid on his face. Now he's really in the middle of nowhere, and he kept looking around and yelling, and no one's around him. He told me he wasn't even below a tree, so it's not tree sap. He never slept outside again, which leads me to believe how weird the experience was for him because he loved being outside. Now for my story. I had other interesting experiences at a remote duty station, but this one was scary. It was on the night of 4th of July, and we weren't on a fire, so the crew was playing horseshoes, having a good time. Everyone went to bed pretty early because we were going to a PT hike the next day. I had my own small room in a double-wide trailer, and my bed was situated next to a big window. I start to doze off, but felt awake. I then hear one of my co-workers outside my window asking me to come out. I was laying down, facing the window and don't look up, but I felt their presence by the window. I felt as though something tall was looming over from outside. They kept beckoning for me and I said no. Pretty quickly, their voice became very deep and angry. They started swearing at me to get out. It was almost a demonic voice. I lay there frozen, not wanting to move a muscle. They yell at me, and eventually, it stopped and I fell asleep. I woke up the next day and asked why my co-workers were out there, but they look so confused when I tell them this. They say that none of them were up that day, it was only me. I'm used to having spirits around, I've always believed in them, and they're pretty much normal for as long as I can remember, but they've never terrified me. I remember my grandmother talking about spirits when I was little. My oldest son, before he deployed to Afghanistan, had the uncanny ability to tell me when someone was gonna die, and I've had my own personal spirit friend I called Fred for as long as I can remember. But this building, is completely different. I've never had any place give me such creepy vibes. Now, it's crazy in this one. I could have the heat up to 80, but my fingers are so cold that I can't even type, and my nose is left constantly running. Now, it's night shift. No one gets in or out without the door chimes going off. I've heard someone sneeze in the hallway, out the side of my office. I hear chairs scrape across the floor in the squad room, when I know I'm the only person there. I've seen one apparition, a blonde-haired girl with grey sweats pull up to her knees, and a white cotton-up shirt, blonde hair with dark roots girl with tennis shoes. I've seen her pure as day. Now, I've seen them walk from the bathroom to the squad room, with her hands across her face. I literally thought someone was in the building, so I called an officer. Now, there's only one way in and out, and I know she didn't go past me. We found no one. Now I work for a tribal police department in Oklahoma, so this was all Indian land at some point. But that wouldn't explain the girl I saw. I work the night shift, and I've learned the normal sounds of the building, like the ice machine or the wind blowing through the attic. But some nights, this place just gives me icy chills. Just that feeling you shouldn't be there. And I've heard my name being called. Sometimes my middle name, which is really creepy. We've had a couple who worked here and have been terrified and left without even saying why. Now, every other place I've worked, I've always had the same little what I call Fred pranks, where drinks or pens disappear and I find it somewhere else. But I never had anything like that happen in that place. I posted quite a few times about my experiences, but I somehow glossed over my time in high school when I worked as a bag boy at a local supermarket. I grew up in a farm town, and the only place you could get groceries, besides a grossly overpriced Shopco on the edge of town, was a family-owned supermarket, Robertson's. The Robertson's family was very active in the community, but had a reputation from misery to straight up being evil, depending on who you ask. If you ask me and the rest of the bag boys, it had a dark aura about it. Many features contributed, like the vaulted ceilings in the back room, the creaking floors in the upstairs offices, and the door hidden behind a pile of old shelves that seemed to lead under the loading dock. Now, the worst of the Robinsons was Ryan. He was too old to handle business decisions, but was too stubborn to let his tube-topping son take it out of his hands. So he spent his days shuffling around the floor, antagonizing the bag boys at every turn. He would moan at us if we clocked in 1 minute early. He'd moan at us for standing at the cloak with a minute left on our shift. He moaned at us about our laziness the second we weren't moving stuff. I always joke that he's a vampire. He refuses to die. Why else is there never a call over the intercom for kids who lost their parents? One night, my suspicions are reinforced. Ryan had showed up at 9 to take care of some of the office work upstairs. With all of our closing duties done, my partner for the night and I lollygag in the stockroom, right at the foot of the office stairs. When 10 rolled around, it's time to close. I figured I'd let Ryan do the locking up. I started up the stairs and realized it's dark. I got to the top and look around. Not a single light in the offices is on. We had stood at the bottom of the stairs the whole time, and Ryan hadn't passed us. Even when Ryan isn't looking scary, strange things happen upstairs. The exposed water pipes leading upstairs twang like somebody's hit them with a hammer. Footsteps on the creaky floor would always echo. All of this happens when the offices are pitch black too. Now, one night, my partner and I freaked out by the noises and decided to spend the remainder of the shift lapping the store. As we were walking perpendicular to the aisles, A can of green beans halfway down the vegetable aisle suddenly fell off the shelf. We put it back on the shelf and start walking again. We don't think much of it. Then, two aisles down, another can falls off. This time, as I pull it back there, a can 15 feet down the aisle flew off the shelf. We left that one sitting there and huddle around the cash register. And to top it off, a bag boy requested to be taken off of night shifts after an experience he has in the break room. The break room had two small bathrooms, male and female. Now he's taken his food break when he heard a baby crying from the woman's bathroom. He'd been in there for 5 minutes already and not seen anyone come in. Definitely not with a baby. He endures 10 minutes before he gets so concerned. He knocks on the door, repeats the knock and questions, and gets nothing back. He finally is convinced that something dodgy is going on and left. I'm a 20-year-old college student who works part-time on weekend nights as a security officer on campus. My partner's a 22-year-old male student, same situation, same company and job. This experience is theirs. We're both currently on duty at different posts and they messaged me about it a few minutes ago. So my partner, I'll call him Jay, is currently working at the front desk on the fine arts building of the college. That building's on Broad Street, the main street of our city. It's around 3 a.m. at the time, and there's usually only going to be the occasional student coming in and out of the building, and a pedestrian on the street every now and then. Jay's security camera shows that the area just outside of the building, including footage of the dumpster, parking lot and sidewalk out front, which is well lit by street lamps since it's on Main Street. The cameras have about a 5-second delay, but show very smooth footage. Jay messages me and says, "I literally just saw a person dissolve on the camera system, like the wind blew them away. It wasn't any kind of screen or anything." Upon questioning him, they told me that they saw what appeared to be two figures wearing their hoods up, and they're almost identical walking together. They said only one of the figures dissolves, and that the one who was solid didn't seem to realize the other person was there. They didn't seem to be talking, and when the figure dissolved, they didn't seem to notice. The solid person's walk and cycles didn't glitch out when the other person's did, and they're off sync. The camera seemed to be working well. The figure didn't appear to glitch out or pop out of existence. It's described as almost dissolving into the wind. I'm wondering if anybody's had any similar experiences to this. So this happened after work this past Christmas Eve. I worked a later second shift from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. or until we're done. I should also mention that while the warehouse is in a nicer area, a couple blocks down it gets sketchy at night. We get done at around 2 a.m, so it's me and my one friend who are first out the parking lot, and we're standing there talking while we're warming up our cars. We were talking for about 5 to 10 minutes, and during this time, I saw a small sedan drive by slowly but didn't think much of it because it was a little icy out, and we figured they were just being curious. But then, I saw it slowly coming back down the road, came from west and pulled in, and parked in the parking lot across from us, which is strange because it's a welding shop parking lot, and no one's ever in there past 10 p.m, besides the police doing speed traps. At this point, I pointed out to my friend that this is weird, and they think the same. Then this big guy got out of the car. The other car that he's in drives off, and he comes over to me and my friend, asking for a smoke. Now, thankfully he didn't talk to me, but as soon as I stepped back out of my car with the wallet in my hand, so I could use one of my cards to scrape the window, he called over to me. I don't want to be rude, Even though something felt off about the situation, but I thought, hell, there's cameras everywhere. And I'm not really worried because everyone will be out in 10 minutes. Now I'm 6'4 and 180 pounds soaking wet, and the guy's a good bit bigger than me. I'm guessing 6'2 or 4, and a solid 250 pounds. He was trying to make small talk with me, asking me about what we do there, how it sucks that we have to work on Christmas Eve. Just random crap like that, but I got the feeling he was sizing me up. So, even though I have extreme social anxiety, same, and can usually barely make eye contact with people I know, I remembered my grandpa always telling me, if I'm in a sketchy situation with someone, just to stand tall, chest out a bit, and make direct eye contact the whole time. Especially do that whenever you look like you might be scared or nervous, so they know you're not worth messing with. I saw him looking down towards my wallet, so I took a small step back to make sure I'm in sight of the cameras. Then he said, hey, could you give me a ride to my house? It's just down the road. I ran out of gas at the store and need to get back, and I have no money. Now the grocery store, he said his car ran out of gas. The story keeps changing, and he come from another direction from the one he pointed at. I then remembered reading online somewhere that around the holidays, people will do whatever they can to get someone to give them a ride, then force them to go back to their house and rob them. Now I know I'm not gonna have this, so I walk backwards towards my car. I know that I have a giant utility knife under the seat and tell him I'm good and to please get off the property. And he's like, come on man, it's Christmas Eve, looking annoyed. At this point, I'm at my car and he can see me reaching under the seat. He then turns to walk away into an alley block. Then I go over to my friend's car and tell him what happened. And he said the dude was trying to get him to give him money for the smokes. And then he tried to get him to give him a ride at the ATM machine. 2 days later, there's a picture of the same guy on the local police department's Facebook asking for information on him because he's wanted in relation to armed robberies and burglaries. I'm a 17-year-old guy, currently living in Phoenix, Arizona. Shout out Arizona. This incident took place around 6 months ago on an overnight trip into the Superstition Mountains, which were about an hour drive east of Phoenix. I won't specify exactly what this trail is. Anyway, the particular trail I was taking was an 8-mile loop through a canyon. It's pretty simple in and out on an overnight trip. I planned on going with my friend, but they cancelled on me in the last minute. So, with a bag packed and a car ready to go, I decide I'm gonna go on my own, not leaving the house on time, and some trouble navigating through the forest roads. I didn't arrive on the trailhead until around 5:45, which for those of you who don't backpack, this is a very big no-no. I had about a 4-mile hike until I arrived at my planned parking spot, and it was getting dark fast. I figured if I moved very quick, I can get at least 3 miles in before I have to find a spot. This strategy left me hiking a very dark trail on my own, with about 15 miles of dirt road between me and anyone else. Hiking in the dark by itself is scary, especially since I'm on my own. Now, eventually it got so dark that I can only use my headlamp to see where I'm going. Now, with only using the headlamp as my light source and moving fast, I end up not where I want to be. This area isn't great. But I find a spot where there's some burnt pieces of wood and the remains of a circle fire, so it can't be too bad. My first priority was to get a fire going. I scanned the area around me and was able to find some dry wood, and I got a fire going. I got my tarp set up and crack open a can of chili mac. I brought it here and I really look forward to eating. I was feeling good. My camp was set up. My food was on fire. The feeling of uneasiness from the hike had almost gone away, but it was still there. Now, to fully understand what happened, I have to explain to you how my camp was set up. The site I picked was a small clearing surrounded by large pine trees, with the trail about 30 feet to my left. When you're in the woods and have a fire going, and the fire casts a circle of light around it, and everything on the edge of that circle and past it are pitch black. Now I'm sitting on my ground near the fire eating my dinner, when a small rock, about the size of a marble, is actually thrown at my camp. I look at the tiny rock in shock, as I was positive that I was the only person on this trail at night. I immediately turn my light on, and towards the area that I'd seen the rock come from. But, due on the destiny of the pines and brush, I can only see about 10 feet. I spent about the next 15 minutes in disbelief as I scanned the tree line that surrounded my area, searching for whatever had thrown it, not daring to stray too far from the fire I set. It was giving me a false sense of security, to be honest. After sitting back down and spending the rest of my time on high alert, I was able to convince myself that I had somehow kicked the rock or it had fallen from a tree. I went to sleep that night, not expecting the pure terror that was about to unfold. I woke to the sound of rustling leaves, really unaudible if you weren't listening for it at the time. I'm still in a sleepy daze. I listen to the rustling of leaves, but it gets harder to hear as I assume they were moving away from me. I went to grab my handheld flashlight that I had next to me when I'd fallen asleep, but the more I looked, the more scared I get as I realize that it's not even there now. I don't get how. I stand up in my sleeping bag, now ducking out of my top. Now, I can't really see far into the woods, but I was able to see a light off in them. It couldn't have been more than 15 feet away, but it's my flashlight laying on the ground in a pile of leaves. This is one of the few moments in my life that I've almost had a heart attack. The flashlight that I'd left sitting right next to me when I'd fallen asleep a few hours ago was now 15 feet away from me, past the tree line in the woods. I hurriedly slipped my boots on, clutching my knife in my other hand and keeping my head on a swivel. I weigh my options. Stay here, wait it out, or attempt a 3-mile hike back to the car in darkness. I figured that whether or not I'm going to get out of here, I'll definitely have a better advantage if I was out on the trail with a light. So I decide that I have to stay at my camp and remain there for the night. Eventually, it came back. I could hear it walking through the woods. It was so far off that I couldn't hear it at first. It sounded like somebody walking by, strolling around without a care in the world. Sometimes it would walk far, then near, and a few hours later do the same thing, still faint as ever. This goes on for 3 or 4 hours until I listen to the steps getting closer until they're about 7 feet from me. At this point, the fire's got really small as I've run out of wood for it, and the footsteps stopped and everything went totally silent. I sat there still for 2 hours, clutching my knife in my hand. I pray that whatever this is can just leave me. I stay like that until the sun came through, and I can see that I'm alone in my campsite. I packed up all my things and speed walked the 3 miles back down the trail I've taken. I arrived at an empty dirt road where my car was parked and nearly sprinted to it as I unlocked my Supra. I jump in it and drove until I put at least 20 miles between me and that place. I stop at a gas station in Apche Junction to buy a Red Bull, but mostly just to see or talk to someone. As I exit the store, I was able to read what was written in the dust on the back of my window: sleep well. The hell, a lot of weird things happened to me on my various adventures through the Arizona, but this was the weirdest by far. I thought I had to share it. There's a seriously deranged person living in the Superstition Mountains. Do yourself a favor and stay as far away from them as you can. This is a story that's been really bothering me lately for absolutely no reason whatsoever. A few months back, I just had this dream that brought back this memory I tried to suppress growing up, but as of recently, it's been weighing on my mind. Growing up in 2005 on the edge of the suburbs, there was a large grove of trees and hills by some railway tracks that led to a big forest about half a mile from my home. When I was 9 years old, me and my neighborhood friends would ride our bikes to the railroad tracks. We'd walk to the forest and go and explore the random pieces of furniture and junk in this forest. We'd play card games, do homework, and hang out with friends for about 2 hours. We never stayed too long. There was this small abandoned house, and in this forest, we always stayed away from it. As one of my friends, Michael, said, "There's a homeless man that lived there, and if you saw him, run." So right off the bat, after hearing this, going near the house in the woods was as scary as could be. One chilly November afternoon after school, I came home and drop off my backpack at the back of my home and immediately go there. My bike is broken at the time, so I walk. Michael told me at school that apparently, this area of the forest is a really good place to play Pokemon with him. This is something we'd frequently do growing up, just to pass time until our parents got home at 4. Nothing unusual. As I crossed the railroad tracks into the forest, I instantly felt a weird sensation. That feeling when somebody's watching you. I looked all around and don't see anyone, so I thought I was getting spooked as the rather overcast day was very eerie. Trekking through the autumn leaves scattered across this large wooden area, I come across a big open area where I'm supposed to meet Michael. Near to this area that we normally meet, I find his notebook open. On the page was written, "Hey, I had to go back home and grab some batteries for my Game Boy. Wait for me here. I'll be back soon, Michael." And I wait. Being alone, especially feeling like somebody was watching me, made this particular moment very uncomfortable. However, I convinced myself I was just being a wuss and decided to wait for Michael. I sat down and began playing on my Game Boy. It wasn't too long until that sensation of being watched grew into utter paranoia. I kept frantically looking for my Game Boy and checking my watch. I'd been there for 30 minutes and it's starting to get dark. Then I heard some leaves crunch. I look in the direction of the sound and briefly saw a dark hooded figure peeking from behind a few trees, then hiding back behind them. My skin crawled, and I immediately jump up from where I'm sitting, frozen in my tracks. I scream hello. I'm quickly reminded that I'm not alone, as I see this very tall, dirty looking hooded man peek from around the trees. He called back, "Hey buddy." I pick up Michael's notebook, and I ran for my life. I ran so fast, I barely had time to look behind me. However, I heard leaves crunching not too far from behind me. It's the man running for me. He was screaming for me to come back, and I just wanted to talk to you. I'm sorry. I began crying as I was running, thinking this was exactly how those kids disappear. I ran and ran and ran until I literally tripped over the railway tracks and cut my knees. Michael was just getting to the tracks. He saw me crying, and I screamed at him to run. Without question, we ran all the way home. The hooded man was nowhere to be seen. I last saw him staring from the woods, defeated that he couldn't catch me or something, I don't know. I told Michael everything that happened and we never went back to the woods again. Years later in 2016, they bulldozed the woods and built a neighborhood there. We later found out from the fellow neighborhood friends who lived in the area the same thing would happen to them. To this day, it's probably the scariest thing that happened to me. When I was younger, I spent a lot of time living with my grandparents. I liked hanging out there because they were around all day, so I didn't feel as lonely. But of course, I would get bored. They were lucky enough to own a cabin in a forest. I would often stay there. I'd bring food and just have a good time generally, or read. But of course, it could be boring, and that would always lead me to explore the forest a little bit. I would never go too far out, just far enough that I could find some tranquility and enjoy myself, something that I probably didn't do often enough. Now, sometimes when I'd go out on these trips, I would have the overwhelming urge to get out of the forest, or the sense that I was being followed. Normally, I thought, oh, there's probably just some animals around, and I'm not really used to being out in the woods, but it was something that would continue for a long time. So much so that I actually become used to it, and I trained myself just to switch off from it, which probably wasn't a good thing, because even today, I have the problem where if I feel like I'm being watched, I don't even bat an eye at it. Now, on one particular day when this happened, I was on one of my walks, and I didn't really think much of it like normal. However, there was a pungent smell that was truly overwhelming my senses. It really smelled like a dead body. I thought maybe an animal had died, but I couldn't see any. I can't ignore this, and now the paranoia sets in as I realize that something might be watching me. I'm worried that maybe it's a dead body or something. I start returning back to the cabin. As I do, I can hear something falling through the trees. I stop dead in my track. I can see a large rock has been thrown just behind me. Now, I'm certain it had been thrown there because I never saw it before and I literally just walked there. Then I think to myself, if that rock hit me, it would have knocked me out or gave me brain damage. Just as I'm thinking that, I can see a large dark figure in the trees. The craziest part is I lock eyes with something with orange glowing eyes. Now, I don't believe in Bigfoot, but I have never seen anything like this in my life. The smell, the rock being thrown, it all makes sense. I turn and start sprinting. I'm so scared that I start to tear up while I'm running. I can hear that thing closing on me. I start screaming and praying. I make a sudden turn, and now I'm only about 50 meters away from the cabin. I glance behind me, and I can see the figure again. This time walking. I don't care, I keep going until I'm in the cabin and I slam the door behind me. Through teary eyes, I look out the window and I can see whatever this thing is staring back at me. It stopped as though it knows that it can't go any further. It simply turns around again and returns to the forest. I told my parents about it and my grandparents, but they don't believe me. But I know what happened that day, and I've never seen anything like it. I know that the area is where the Navajo are supposed to reside, but I don't think it was a skinwalker. It's truly the most scary thing that I've ever experienced in my life. This story takes place during the summer when I was 15. I was living with my dad and stepmother at the time. I remembered my mum throwing a royal fit about me buying new school clothes because I had let a few pairs of pants get holes in them and still wore them. It was my first year going into high school, and I wasn't going to let her spoil that for me, so I went to stay with my grandparents for the summer to earn money. They lived in a remote, small area that was once home to many native tribes, most prominently the Quinaloo tribe. It's very secluded despite being only a mile or so from the highway. It's all lush, gorgeous forest. My grandpa had built his own three-story house and a shop where he cut and assembled cedar into roofing products. That's where I came in, hauling heavy chunks of cedar to his van, stacking, nailing, chinking up pieces into smaller ones to be sold. I made good money while I was there and could buy a new wardrobe. As summer was coming to an end, It was too hot to work, and I decided to walk one day. Now let me say that I spent my childhood roaming around these woods. Armed with my grandpa's two dogs, we ran and played and napped all day, and I'd never seen anything out of the ordinary or got weird vibes. I waited until it was a bit cooler in the evening and started out, walking a little path that would take me to an old unused logging road. I had tread this path so many times that I wasn't even paying attention until I felt like I was being watched. I would like to note here that I was young at the time and had yet to touch alcohol or drugs, and had no history of hallucinations or mental illness, so what I saw really haunts me. There he was, standing naked in the middle of the path, looking down at me with a blank expression. He was tall, maybe even 7 feet, much taller than my 5 foot nothing. He had long, long matted black and grey hair. There were tufts of it growing from the sides of his arms as well. His skin was very sticky, yellow and pale, looking too big for his stature. We made eye contact. His yellow orbs felt like they're looking into my soul. I couldn't move or think. Everything goes silent around me. The next 10 seconds or so seemed like they stretched out for an eternity. We just stood there looking at each other, before he swiftly turned and walked back into the trees. The foliage went undisturbed as he melted through it and disappeared. I honestly expected him to charge at me, or at least try and intimidate me, but he just left. I haven't seen him since either, nor am I too enthusiastic to go out looking. I remember telling my grandma about it, and she said it was probably a drug addict, but something didn't seem right. I've told this story somewhere before, and it really scares me. I've tried looking into Native American folklore, especially the local stuff, but haven't found anything matching the description. I don't know if maybe it's a skinwalker or not, but it truly terrified me. This happened yesterday. My brother and I went for a hike to starve off cabin fever from self-isolation. We chose a pretty remote trail to lower the risk of coming into contact with others. I was walking ahead of my brother, and the gravel on the track was making our footsteps seem really loud. Deep in thought, I was listening to the rhythm of his footstep behind me. About 20 minutes in, I start hearing other footsteps, off faint and getting louder, until they're the same pitch as his, but they're very fast, like the rhythm of someone running. There suddenly came a halt to it, and I could hear the motion of somebody stepping on the gravel. That sudden sharp rocky sound you can imagine. I assumed that there must have been someone running or jogging on the track, and sure enough, I see a shadow on the other side of me appearing. It looks like somebody's head is next to mine, as though they're running behind me. I stopped, turned around to let them pass, as the track's very narrow. However, when I turned around, it was just my brother staring back at me. He was confused as to why I'd stopped. So, I asked if he was running a second ago, and he said nah. I asked if there had been anyone behind him, and he said that he wasn't aware of anyone. I thought it was strange, but just let it go and carried on. About 5 minutes later, we came around a corner, and there was this smell of pure death. It was very strong, like rotten meat. We figure it's a dead animal. We reach our hike lookout about 20 minutes later, chilled out for a bit, then headed back. We pass the death smell again, and it's around the exact same spot where it happened before. I hear the running sounds again. I ignore it, because I'm getting scared now, and we pick up the pace to get back to the car. I told my mum, and she said that it must have been a dead body, and maybe that was their spirit that you could sense. I laughed at the time, but it was more out of fear. I'm really not sure what this is, and it still haunts me to this day. I went camping in Solvang, CA, with just myself and my 18-pound Skanoodle. It was early in the season, maybe early March, and there was no one else in the camping area. The campground didn't have any hosts. It was first come, first serve, pay-as-you-go-in-a Dropbox type of place. The campground was on a slope, and there were trees, but the trees are very thick, so you could see most of the campground if you're on the top part of the slope. Since I'm alone, I picked the campground on the top right. It was a pretty remote area, so it's pitch black at night. Everything was good for a couple of days. We went back to the beach and walked down and did a lot of droning. One day, there was this truck of about 3 guys that came down to the campground, and they were shooting at the trees, smoking weed and drinking. The moment they see me, they start staring at me hard. I'm a female, so I feel uncomfortable and go to my tent, and they left. Later on at night, maybe 2 or 3 in the morning, I woke up to the sound of an engine and bright lights. I peek out of the air vent in the top of my tent, and all I could see was a truck parked right in front of the campsite. The high beams are on, and I couldn't see anything else because of it. The truck stays there for about 30 seconds. Then all of a sudden, the horn sounded. My poor dog, who was barking, starts to whimper and shake. I don't know how long they were there for, but it felt like an eternity. Eventually, they hit the gas and come flying up the slope. I think they're gonna hit me. I freak out and quickly get my dog. They flew right by the tent, nearly hitting us. They drove down the campground, not on the road, but through the campsites and through to the grassy area. I don't know how they missed us. They started firing guns too, and the bullets aren't far from where I am. Writing this out now, it doesn't seem very scary, but it was terrifying at the time. I don't know if they were gonna come in to kill me or worse. I don't know if they were gonna run me over and shoot me. I'm just glad they didn't get me. Growing up, I had a childhood friend that lived relatively close by, and we were like 2 peas in a pod. We're both adventurous, believed in the paranormal, enjoyed astronomy, and generally just being outside. She was born in Alaska, and her dad had lived there for quite a while, so they're always camping, hiking, fishing, skiing, you name it. It was with my friend's family that I got actually introduced to being outside and doing camping with. Now, this actually happened during the late to mid 90s, when we're maybe 10 or 12 years old. On one particular camping trip, we went to this lake in the forest that was surrounded by a meadow, and feeding the lake was a small stream leading out to the woods. Anyway, we played in the meadow and stream all day while my friend's dad fished. The lake wasn't very big, and because it had a meadow all around it, he could keep an eye out to the whereabouts while we fished. Now, while I'm messing around by the stream, I get some weird vibe from the wooded area that I can't explain. Anyway, the day faded into early evening, and it was time to leave and find a camping spot. My friend's dad packed up his fishing gear, and we walk all the way back to our truck. It's winding through the woods. Once we're in the truck, we drove into a more remote area, and we made our way up this steep road that was rough, at such an incline. I was convinced my friend's dad was gonna break his truck. He had a 4, maybe 6-cylinder Toyota pickup truck, which is about as basic as you could get. To be honest, I don't even know if it had 4-wheel drive. But being an Alaskan outdoorsman with years of experience, I trusted him. We finally made it up to the top, which was flat and relatively open with a big forest area in the opposite direction from the road we drove up. We pitched our tents, got everything set up, and a friend and I decided to explore. We may be 50 yards from the tent when we heard a big crack as a tree branch snapped behind us in the woods. We got quiet, and look in that direction but can't see a thing. Thinking it was just a deer, we brush it off. But we hear it again while we're walking and whisper to one another that it could have been an animal. I stop briefly, and when we're about 200 yards away, we sat on a boulder looking down the steep downwards area near the woods, and suddenly, we hear another cracking branch from behind. Whatever it was seemed to be following us. Our imaginations are going wild. We came up with everything from a serial killer stalking us in the woods to Bigfoot. When we got back to the campsite, we told our dad what we heard and how it seemed to be parallel to us. He just plays it off though as a black bear, and maybe he's just looking for food. So later on, my friend confided in me that her dad had gotten his pistol out and would be sleeping with it that night. My friend and I were sharing one tent. He has his own tent not far from us, so I feel pretty safe. Now, I don't feel perfectly normal. I awoke sometime in the middle of the night to hear something or someone walking outside. I lay still listening. I could hear it quietly circling the tent. It sounded like it was walking on two legs because it had a distinct rhythm. Whatever it was, it sounded big as I couldn't hear its weight. As it puts each foot down, it seems to be getting closer. I can even hear relatively quiet but deep breathing. As I lay there listening, I could hear it wandering to other parts of our campsite and back to our tent, almost as if it was walking in a big loop. I don't know how long this goes on for. It feels like an eternity. I'm terrified and unable to wake up my friend as I lay there listening. Now the next morning, I tell my friend and her dad about it, but I don't know if they believe me or not. Interestingly, absolutely nothing in the camp was disturbed in any way. The ground was very soft and in some places was covered in grass, and there's no footsteps either. This is something I've never been able to explain, and to this day still lingers in the back of my mind while camping. I always wonder what was lurking around that night. I grew up in a somewhat remote mountain town in California. When I was 12, me and a few friends were hiking up an old fire road with my dad. As we're reaching the end of the trail, we notice a person face down in a ditch wearing a red flannel jacket with jeans on. As we get closer, we saw a rifle and long grey hair scattered everywhere. It smelt awful. We pause. My first thought is that it must have been a prank or something because it's around Halloween. But I was wrong. My dad told us to stay where we are. He walked over and found out that it was someone who wasn't alive anymore. I went out camping alone one night in a nearby forest to where I lived. I had a really good day and enjoyed the solitude. I went to bed and had a feeling that I was being watched. I couldn't quite shake it. I managed to fall asleep eventually, but it must have taken hours. I'm awoken by what I think is my boyfriend tugging at me. Then I realize that I'm alone in the tent and he's out of state. I scream, turn on my flashlight, and I don't see anyone. I think it's just my imagination playing tricks on me, and I eventually go back to sleep again. When I wake up in the morning, however, I found out it's not just my imagination. There are footprints all around my campsite and multiple cigarettes lying on the floor. I went camping in an abandoned building once with some of my friends. I know how stupid it is now, but at the time, it seems to be a great idea. Everything seems normal at first. We are getting scared, but it's just by each other making us jump. Now, as midnight strikes, all five of us are sleeping in the same area, except for my one friend who goes into the other room. He keeps on whispering things at us through the doors, and we tell him to shut up and go asleep because it's late, but he keeps on doing it, and keeps on punching on the windows. Then I hear my friend next to me say, "What are you guys talking about?" Immediately, we all dart up as we realize all of us are in the exact same area. One of my braver friends quickly shines a flashlight into that room, and it's locked. No one's in there. Needless to say, we all bolt out of there screaming for our lives and never went back there again. Normally, I would think it's my imagination, but all six of us heard the exact same thing that day.